What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by The Club App, the number one community for live DJs and virtual parties. Today, we have my brother, DJ Darion, on the show. Brother, can you please introduce yourself, tell the people who you are and where you're from?
Hey, what's up, Daryl? Yeah, I am DJ Darion, originally from Carmel, California. Right now, I'm residing in Sacramento, and I will be moving to Daytona Beach, Florida, by summer.
Awesome, man. Well, we're super excited to have you on the show. We're going to jump right into this, man. Where did you start with your DJ career? What sparked your interest in being a DJ? And talk to us about the beginning days.
Yeah, totally. So I grew up in Carmel by the Sea, California. It's a nice little kind of beach town right on the coast of California, right in the middle, smack dab in the middle of California. So it's right near like Monterey, Pebble Beach, Big Sur, a lot of very picturesque places. But it's also kind of a retirement area. So didn't really have a lot of kids my age growing up. So I spent a lot of time by myself by the beach. I was also involved in some church youth groups, and that's kind of what sparked my DJ career. When I was probably in between eighth grade and freshman year of high school, we had a function where we had a DJ come and set up and play CDs and loud music. And I was just drawn to it for some reason. It just wowed me seeing this guy up on stage playing, you know, loud music, a lot of fun hits, everyone's dancing. So I literally get up on stage and I'm like hanging out with this guy. And this guy had like, you know, a huge mixer and a couple portable CD players and like crates of CDs. And I was like, this guy's like mixing between songs. Like, this looks like a lot of fun. This is like way different than when you hear on the radio. And so what I did was I actually went out like soon after that and got a Radio Shack mixer and I had a couple portable CD players and just the few CDs that I had in my arsenal. And I would literally just go up whenever I could just for even a couple hours and just try and mix songs, together and try to vibe with it and get the whole beat matching down. I pretty much taught myself from the ground up. I mean, there was no YouTube or anything like that back then. This is like, 1996, 1997. So, I started way back then kind of thing. So, flash forward a couple of years later, I'm in high school around, I think, sophomore year. And my best friend was Armenian and he would do a couple functions with his family, especially over New Year's. So he would actually go and play music with his like surround sound home speakers, his Harman Kardon speakers and stuff like that. And we'd run like hundreds of feet of like wire and set up this like huge system at his New Year's Eve party. And we'd play a lot of Armenian music and then we'd like incorporate some like the fun stuff that we knew. And so that kind of like started something in our minds thinking, man, if this went off really well, why not do it to our school dances? So we approached our high school principal, I think it was like the middle of our sophomore year. And we're like, hey, we want to DJ a school dance because we started getting into school dances and being social and stuff like that. I was playing sports and stuff like that. So, and then also I was also into musical theater as well. So I kind of did that on the side as well too. So the DJing was just kind of more of like a way to entertain in a way. I was always like an entertainer growing up. I always loved making home movies and stuff like that. Didn't really have a lot of friends, like I said. So like my best friend growing up was like a video camera. And then also I would like, record my voice over like the radio and just kind of pretend I was like the DJ. So it was like this niche that I'd love to be a performer in a way. And that kind of segued into being a DJ. So they approved us. They're like, well, we've never had a student want to DJ one of our dances, but why not give it a shot? Because the dances that were happening, the DJs that would come and do our school dances really weren't that, active and they weren't that fun. They would play the song all the way through, and not really mix. And we're like, man, we could make this so much better, So they gave us a shot. We charged them like, I think, $200 or something like that. So we took out a loan with his dad and got some like American DJ, like nice CD players with like the mixer and all that. We bought a couple Cernvega large, like 15-inch, woofer speakers. Like a crown mixer and a couple lights from Radio Shack, like the police beacons. I think we bought something online that was like $500 or something like that. And we did it and it was a complete hit. It was a smash. And so the kids were like, dude, like, you guys got to do the rest of the dances. And we're like, sure. So before you know it, we're starting to do all of our school dances. And we use pretty much every dollar that we made to put right back into, you know, our little niche. And so we bought, you know, more lighting and better speakers throughout the, you know, next couple of years. The only dances that we didn't do of ours was probably like our high school senior prom. And I think winter ball, because we just wanted to like actually experience it. And even then we were just like nitpicking the DJ the entire time. We're like, oh man, I wish I was up there kind of doing it, you know? But it just kind of grew from there. And we saw something happen. We saw like a lot of followers and people from other schools would come to our dances. And so then they start asking us, hey, can you DJ our dances? We love your vibe. We love, you know, your style and everything. And we're like, sure. So this hobby kind of soon turned into a business. And so him and I started our own company. I was like 14, 15. He was like 16. So he was, you know, he had a driver's license. So he uses his pickup truck and we'd literally go from school to school and just start DJing, you know, school dances. And we'd obviously buy music as legally as we could, because we've heard like, you know, things in the past, you know, people downloading music. They had like LimeWire and Napster and all that. Although we use those services also and, you know, ripped our own CDs. We tried to use the money to buy actual legitimate, you know, music, you know, because it always sounded better, the actual albums themselves. So, boom, it started cracking. And then after we graduated, that's when we started getting into weddings. I believe our first wedding was like an Armenian wedding as well, too. So, the Armenian family, I mean, they're big. They really know how to congregate together all the time. So, yeah, it just blew up after that. So we started our own company. We did every event together until it got so busy where we needed to do, you know, separate events on the same day. And it just, you know, kept going. We kept getting into the business even more, buying better equipment, more lighting. Then we started getting into different controllers. And then he started going down to school in San Diego. I stayed up in Monterey and kind of continued the disc jockey company up there. And then it just kind of grew and grew and grew. Our popularity got huge. You know, we were the largest DJ company in the area. Then we had to start bringing on other people. So we brought on some friends to start DJing, you know, events, private events, quinceañeras, you know, corporate events. Then we started getting into karaoke. So we just dabbled into everything. It was hard for us to say no, because it was just like, if you ask us to do something, if we've never done it, of course we're going to say, of course we've done it. Yeah, duh. So we just kind of taught ourselves along the way, and it was a lot of fun, actually. And I mean, I don't know how many, you know, events I've done over the years, but it's definitely in the thousands for sure. So we just kind of continued rocking, man. And so he, like I said, he went down to San Diego. I was up in Monterey. He would actually fly me down almost every weekend just to do events down there, because he was so popular down there. And, you know, we didn't have as much weddings and, you know, after like during the summers and stuff like that, you know, I'd be going down there a lot. So it was like, you know, we're starting to get, you know, recognition all over the state. And then we start going to our local, you know, venues and starting to get on the vendors list and stuff like that. So just along the way, we just kind of taught ourselves how to get into this business, because there was no, you know, there's no guide. There was no handbook on like how to DJ back then. And this is like, you know, right when the internet was starting to blow up a little bit and, you know, YouTube was starting to kind of take off, but there was really no streaming services or anything like that. So it's just, you know, it was all hard, raw events. And then, you know, once I turned 21, then we started going to clubs. And that was when we found out about Serato. And Serato changed everything. I mean, we went to a club and this guy was up there on vinyl and he was not flipping the records. And I was like, what's going on? You know? And, you know, we actually went up on stage, because just being a DJ, you just gravitate towards the DJ all the time. Everywhere you go, there's a DJ. You got to stand right by him, say hi and be like, what's up? We're DJs too. You know, can we check things out? They're always nice. You know, it's a very inviting environment. And so we were just in awe, like, what the heck is this? He's like, dude, Serato just came out. You got to cop one of these things. It was like $550 or something like that back then. It was like the SL1 or something like that. And you had to buy the time coded CDs and all that. So it just blew up, man. And so we got the Serato, and then we started incorporating that, but we couldn't switch, you know, completely over to the Serato. We still had like a bunch of, you know, binders of CDs and stuff like that. So we slowly got into the Serato, having music on our laptops and stuff like that. And then, yeah, man, just over time, it just, you know, we started getting more weddings. That was just kind of like our niche. That was what we were really known for. That's where the money comes from, really, is weddings. And it's definitely, you definitely have to have the right mindset to DJ a wedding for sure. And, you know, there's been a couple times where it's like you're throwing down jams and, you know, people aren't dancing for some reason, or, you know, you got to pick out the right song at the right time. This is all stuff you kind of learn along the way. And it's been one hell of a journey, that's for sure.
Wow, brother. That is a truly amazing intro, man. You've accomplished a lot. And it's just so amazing just how you were a student and just like, you know what? I can do this better than these DJs that they bring in. Then like,
you just
jumped in and you were the first student at your
first
school.
First students, yeah, to do it for our own school.
Do it for your dance. And I think that's super amazing, man. And,
yeah. Well, like I said, it was a small community. Carmel is a very small town. I think it was only like 4,600 people or something like that in our town. So, you know, we grew up with all these kids our entire lives from grade school, you know, from, you know, middle school and everything. And so they knew us as people. But that's where our reputation really skyrocketed, is because we were just kind of like the DJs, the you know, there was like the jocks, there was the thespians, you know, there was the Valley Hicks and all that. You had the popular kids. And then out of nowhere, these two dudes just decided to be DJs, you know, and it was just it was amazing. It was so much fun. And then I forgot to add, in the middle of all that, I had another buddy who was a couple of years older than me. He got into the vinyl part of it. So I actually learned how to DJ early on vinyl. And so I used a lot of that knowledge into with the CDs, because back then we learned how to DJ without BPM meters and stuff like that, you know? So everything was done by, you know, beats and just, you know, keeping the rhythm and stuff like that. So I taught myself how to DJ raw way back in the day before they had anything on the mixers telling you what your BPMs were and anything like that. I don't think even Serato back then, I think in the very beginning, I actually might have had the BPM meter on it. I'm not sure. But I mean, that didn't even come until later on. So, and he was into UK hard house. So I really got into like a lot of that electronic techno, you know, trancey kind of stuff way back in the day. So I've always, I mean, that's kind of pretty much my favorite genre, but I mean, you gotta like them all. If you're a real true DJ, you gotta like every single genre, because every genre has got that beat. You can mix it around with anything else. So now doing weddings, I can go from pop to reggae to country to hip hop to EDM to, you know, Latin music, banda and cumbia and reggaeton and salsa and all that stuff. I mean, that's what's fun about being a DJ, is being able to take all these different cultures and be able to blend it together and, you know, provide music and entertainment to your crowd, to your environment, and make them react to it. And that's, I mean, there's still to this day, there's nothing like throwing down a mix and having people react and just go bonkers over it. It's great.
Wow, man. No, that's truly amazing. You're dropping jumps, man. At this time, we're going to jump into a quick break to pay the bills. And when we come back, we're going to be able to talk about some of the lessons you learned throughout that journey.
Sweet.
Awesome, man. We're super glad to be back. And now I want you to jump into, you know, what are some of the things you've learned throughout that entire journey? You had a lot of success. You grew super organically and almost virally as well in regards to just your exposure. Talk to me about some of the things you learned through that early exposure to the industry and how you're using that to grow and grow your business today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just getting out there and doing a lot of legwork. It was a lot of time, you know, behind the scenes of just a lot of phone calls, getting to know a lot of the local venues, you know, where, you know, ballrooms, you know, so we go to different hotels, we go to different venues where they do weddings and corporate events and school dances. Like I said, we started off doing school dances. That's how our reputation became what it was. So we already were in cahoots with a lot of the local hotels and resorts and stuff like that, because Monterey is a very, you know, rich community where it comes to people coming from out of town. So a lot of, you know, people from all around the world want to come to our area to do events, and it's not just weddings, but it's a lot of corporate stuff. We have a Laguna Seca nearby, so you have a lot of people coming in for races and stuff like that. You have Pebble Beach, probably one of the most pristine places to play golf, so you have a lot of rich folks living there and doing private events there. So we were pretty lucky to be, you know, brought up in a community where there was so much going on, and it was so centrally located for so many different styles and types of events. But also, there was no clubs. There's no clubs in Monterey whatsoever. We had one downtown area where they had Alvarado Street, and that's where they had, you know, a couple restaurants that would turn into clubs at night. But we never got into that really, because that's where the money really wasn't there at all. I mean, they were giving DJs like $100-$200 a night, you know, to be at a restaurant that turns into a club at night. And you have to worry about drunk people running around with, you know, drinks and stuff like that. And you have to bring in all your equipment. I mean, you're bringing a couple $1,000s worth of equipment and knowledge and music. And then, you know, just to get a couple $100, it really wasn't worth it. That's why the private events were so important. The weddings, so important. You know, that's where the money was. That's where the real, you know, stress was for DJing. That's where, you know, you want to get your name down. You got to start doing these, you know, weddings and corporate events and stuff like that. So just grinding away, talking to all the coordinators, talking to the event specialists, talking to the general managers of all the venues, getting your name on the vendors list was key, because that was kind of your calling card. You know, when people would come and want to do an event at a location, they would say, hey, we need a DJ for whatever event it is. Do you have a recommendation? Yeah, we have a vendors list. And, you know, boom, that's where our name was. We were called DNA DJs. I'm Darian. His name was Anthony. DNA. That's how that name became. And so they give us a call and say, hey, you know, we're looking for a DJ. We throw out a quote. We tell them, you know, our reputation. The venue would vouch for us. And then boom, before you know it, I mean, we're booking events like crazy. There's a couple of venues where we were their sole DJ. So that was huge. So if someone went to a particular place, we were the only DJ company that they would deal with, because they knew how we worked. They knew how we ran things. They knew how well organized and how we can communicate with all the different vendors. You know, that's how we were. We knew how to talk and how to coordinate. You know, as a DJ, you're much more than just a guy who plays music. You know, you got to be able to read crowds, you know, change, you know, whatever you can on the fly to make things work. And that's also being very hands-on with your client. You know, if they need something, you're going to go out of your way to do so. So I say just, you know, be as involved as much as possible to make the client happy. And it's going to work wonders for you in the long run, for sure. But I guess just going back to like marketing and stuff like that, we never really did any advertising whatsoever. Just because our name was so recognized already, and we had such a good reputation, you know, working with word of mouth and the vendors, that's all we really needed, to be honest. So, I mean, if you're in a community where there's, you know, a lot of competition and stuff like that, just going out there and grinding, giving out some business cards to some people and just, you know, just doing it, you know, that's really what you need to do. You don't need to make commercials. I know now with social media, things are a lot different. But, you know, still going back to the old school stuff of just, you know, making the phone calls, making the emails, talking to people, that's going to go, I think, the furthest with marketing yourself, for sure.
Definitely. No, that's the best way to do it. When you have referrals and you just have a great product or service, and it's just so good that people are compelled to tell other people about it, it does so much better than an Instagram or Facebook ad, or by, you know, doing outreach and promotion. Like, having your product or service market itself by just being so good and word of mouth is the number one way to have raving fans around what you're building and your brand. You know, I would love to see, what are some things that you do specifically in your brand that makes you stand out amongst the rest?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's mainly just the experience that I have. You know, I've been doing this now for 23, 24 years now. So I have a lot of weddings and events under my belt. So, you know, now I'm a solo artist. Now I started my own company about 3 years ago. So I'm just my own brand now. It's just DJ Darian. So even to this day, I'm still working with a lot of those vendors that I've been working with for so many years. You know, even yesterday, I got a couple inquiries for weddings for at the end of the year. So just, I guess having the reputation is key. Obviously, number one, because they've seen you work before. They've told their friends and colleagues, you know, how well you work with them. I guess that's just, you know, that's just the way I've kind of continued my name and my reputation is just from all the experience that I have. So if you know, a new guy were to come up and say, hey, you know, I want to get into DJing, you know, what do I need to do to stand out? I guess to say, just be yourself, have knowledge of all the music genres and be able to take requests. That's going to, I mean, just those three things alone will take you very far. It's hard for me to understand why certain DJs just don't want to take requests. But there is a certain, I guess there's a certain niche between, you know, a club DJ and a private mobile DJ. And I think in my shoes, I definitely have a lot more broader horizon, a lot more valleys and avenues that I can go with the experience that I have doing so many different styles of weddings, different cultures, and having that knowledge of different genres of music. And being able to just, you know, do what I can to make the crowd in front of me happy, because at weddings and corporate events and private events, you're going to have the most diverse crowd than anybody else. I mean, clubs are easy because you can pretty much play whatever you want and they're just going to dance around to it kind of thing, you know, because they're all drinking and doing whatever. But, you know, usually at a club, you don't really get requests. And, you know, and I've talked to a lot of club DJs and they're like, no requests ever. You know, like that's just like the cardinal sin, where from where I'm from, it's a complete opposite. So I guess it's just, if you want to be that true, real DJ, just be open to everything, you know, and be able to take criticism where it comes and just listen, because everyone has their own mindset about, you know, music that they like. You could DJ at the same club over and over and over and play the same music and it'll work out fine, you know, where with doing a wedding, I can't do one wedding and play that same playlist over and over and over. I got to keep, you know, recycling, you know, different songs. I got to keep playing different tunes. I got to talk to my clients way beforehand and get an idea of what music they want to listen to and know exactly what songs they don't want to listen to, you know. There are certain people that don't like certain genres, that don't like certain artists, or they have a certain song that they just cannot hear because it will just bring up some bad memory. And that song could be something that you is like a go-to song. So knowing your client beforehand, I mean, that's, you got to know that before anything else for sure.
Wow, that's some really great advice. That's something that I never thought about. And the DJs that are currently listening to this, I think you should definitely listen to what my brother DJ Darion is saying. He has a lot of experience, 24 years plus of experience in this game, and he has done thousands of events. We said thousands of events.
Thousands. So, oh, easy. Yeah.
He knows what he's talking about.
Way more than I can even think of. I mean, and I've done them all, man. I've done bar mitzvahs and quinceañeras and, you know, everything. I mean, even like funerals, you know, like remembrance parties, divorce parties. I've DJed in all kinds of different places, all kinds of different states. I've DJed in Mexico. I've been to Amsterdam. I've been all around, man. And it's definitely one of those things I'm happy to be still a part of is DJing.
Wonderful, man. Well, this was an amazing interview, man. Before we go into our lightning round, I want to ask you, what are some things that you're focused on now, and how can myself, the club, our audience, our listeners support you?
Totally. Thank you. Well, I'm actually kind of switching things up. I've been doing weddings for so long, been doing private events for so long. I kind of stopped doing school dances a while back. Because of COVID, it really opened my eyes about, you know, what I want to continue doing as a DJ, if I still want to pursue it professionally, or if I want to take a step back. And so I guess I'm announcing it to the world now. This is going to be my last year doing actual weddings. I might do some more down the road if I'm specially requested, but because I'm going to be moving to Florida, I'm going to be basically just kind of walking away from everything I've kind of built my name around up here, and trying something new in a different state and a whole different region and different demographic. So by summer, I plan on moving to Florida. I've already talked to some people out there. And, you know, I might be getting into some club stuff out there, which would be fun. It'd be nice to kind of get into that. It's a little bit easier in the back. Now I'm getting older because being a mobile DJ, you got to carry around all of your equipment, all of your, you know, all your speaker stands, all your speakers, all your heavy equipment and stuff like that. And it's starting to get a little crazy at some of these venues where you got to go up and down stairs and things like that. I do a lot of outdoor stuff. So I have a, you know, battery operated speakers for that. Those aren't, you know, super light at all. But I think I'm just trying to, you know, because of COVID, everything's really opened my eyes. You know, why not try something new? And now I'm at that time in my life where I'm not actually stuck here anymore. I'm not, you know, I'm not booked 2 or 3 years down the road, because that's how it used to be for a while. We get people, you know, booking me at least a year, 2 years in advance all the time because our reputation was so big. I was literally the number one DJ in our area for quite some time. People knew me by name and they knew exactly, you know, my style and how I perform, how easy I am to work with, but how, you know, perfect I am, because I've, I mean, still to this day, I haven't had really one bad event because I know how to make sure if there's a problem, I know exactly what to do on the fly. I don't freak out or anything like that. I'm a perfectionist when it comes to this kind of stuff. But now I want to get into kind of just, you know, maybe take a step back and maybe do some, you know, a little bit more fun stuff. I have a friend who's doing some stuff in Las Vegas as well, so I might want to collab with him. But I'm basically going to start a new name, I guess, of myself in Daytona Beach. So, I mean, you can follow me on DJ Darion and on Instagram. I'm on Facebook as well under Darion Bonnet, B-O-N-N-E-T. I'm also on Twitch under DJ Darion. Pretty much if you just look up DJ Darion on Google, you'll see me all over the place. So yeah, I guess that's where that is right there. So I'm trying to dive into something not as hectic as weddings, I guess you could say. And I'm basically saying goodbye to my insane reputation in one place and going to start brand new somewhere else. And that's actually very exciting for me because I've been so comfortable of how things have been the last 20 plus years that I kind of forgot, you know, how fun it was to kind of build my name up, build up my reputation. Now I'm going to start doing that again. That's actually really exciting for me.
Amazing, brother. Super exciting, man. This is an amazing interview and we're going to jump into the lightning round now. Are you ready?
Sure.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm using a MacBook Pro with Serato DJ Pro on it. I'm using a Pioneer DDJ SRT controller right now. I love it. It's very, very easy to use. I'm not huge into scratching at all, but it definitely makes scratching a lot easier. I'm using QSC K12.2 speakers. I love QSC speakers. I've been using them for probably 10 plus years. I mean, they're amazing. You can literally drop them downstairs if you want to. The warranty on them are incredible. I'm using I'm using Frankenstein stands. I got a nice little facade that I put in front of me. I use Hosa speaker cables. It's pretty just straightforward stuff. I mean, I try not to bring a whole lot of stuff. I have like a little tree of lights. I forget it's the Odyssey. I think it's the Flex Bar. So I use that. It's very easy to install on my speaker stand. I put my speaker over it so I don't have to have like a separate tree of lights. Very simplistic stuff. Usually when I do weddings, you don't need a whole lot of pizzazz where I'm from. I know it's a lot different on the East Coast and places like that. But what I'm used to and what I know that works, the simpler, the better, you know, because you're trying to sell yourself, you know, your experience, what you can bring to the table and not a whole lot of pizzazz. So I'm a one man band. So, you know, whatever I can roll on my rock and roller, another thing I have, that's what I have.
Who's your favorite DJ?
I would have to say all around Armin van Buuren for sure. I've seen him quite a few times live, his production, his work ethic, and how long he's been in the music industry. By far, one of my favorites, Armin van Buuren, for sure.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
I would just say as a whole, weddings. They are the most fun, the most diverse, the most action, the most stress. You see a little bit of everything at a wedding. You get to know two different families from different aspects and bringing them together and being able to make their day perfect or as close to perfect as possible. And without it going, you know, without a hitch, there's nothing like going through an entire day with so many random people on something so important. So as a whole, by far weddings, that's the most rewarding.
Who's the most interesting person you've met throughout your DJ career?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. There's been so many. I mean, I've worked with celebrities. I got to open for Macklemore a couple of years ago. That's probably one of my big highlights, even though I didn't actually get to meet him personally. I got to meet his whole team and the people around it. I've gotten to work with a lot of great event hosts. There's really not that one person that I've really gotten to work with or meet, because there's been so many. Yeah.
What is one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't done a lot of live streams myself, even though I know I should have. I've watched a few. I don't know. I kind of like where it's going, because it's changing a lot. There's always new ways of interacting with people. There are different platforms other than Twitch. You know, you can do. I guess if there's some way to figure out how to incorporate music so it's not copywritten and not flagged on so many different, you know, services. I know I tried to even stream. I was actually in Utah at the Salt Flats the other day, randomly started DJing out there just for the hell of it. And I tried live streaming on Facebook and I was flagged and taken down because of the music I was playing. Because I mean, unless you have like some obscure remix of something, you know, that they don't recognize, I guess there's gotta be some median of how for us as creators, as streamers, to be able to play music without it being flagged and shared to the world.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Okay. Well, I mean, my good best friend, DJ Anto. You can find him, DJ Anto 831 on Instagram. He's actually going to be in Vegas this Sunday DJing. It's going to be one of his first big events coming up as a solo, basically, DJ artist. Nick Spinelli. He's a real fun guy. He's out of New Jersey. Jason Janai, he's a fantastic DJ out of New Jersey as well. DJ Joe Bunn, he's one of my mentors. He's actually probably the main reason why I went solo as a solo artist now. He's out of Raleigh, North Carolina. He's one of the biggest, best mobile DJs out there in the East Coast. He owns Bunn DJ Co. And I guess that's off the top of my head. That's my shout outs right there, man.
Awesome. We look forward to hearing their stories one day on the show. And any DJ that's interested in being on the show, they can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
Yeah, absolutely. Just DJ Darion, D-A-R-I-O-N. Just look that up on pretty much any major platform and I should be able to pop right up, man.
Awesome, brother. This has been an amazing interview, man. We learned a lot about your journey. Super explosive, brother. I love what you're doing. And we look forward to following you on your journey as it continues in your new city of Daytona Beach, correct?
Right. Yeah, that's it.
Awesome, man. So, hey, everyone, please follow my brother, DJ Darion. He's doing amazing things, and we look forward to just continuing building this relationship with you.
Thanks, Daryl, for having me.